Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And don't we just love dolphins? They're so wonderful, and they go back a long way. It's a great tradition of humans enjoying dolphins. And we're going to talk a lot about our relationship with them with a man who's written a wonderful book called Our Dolphin Ancestors, Keepers of Lost Knowledge and Healing Wisdom, Frank Joseph. Frank, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we can talk about dolphins because I have fortunately been able to swim with them out in the ocean out in Hawaii and didn't have any direct communication with them. I just enjoyed them jumping around and being present in a large group, and it felt great. But there are so many people who have really had serious experiences with dolphins, and there's so much in your book. This is a wonderful book to read. It's got so much of the history of dolphins and their connection with us, and on it goes. And so people who love dolphins should definitely be reading Our Dolphin Ancestors. Now, first of all, the idea that they're ancestors is very interesting. It's understandable that, you know, they're so intelligent as we are. They might be even more intelligent than we are, and they also as a fetus they have human forms that they grow out of. You might talk a little bit about that.
Yes, well, thank you. Those are very kind comments you make about my book. Like you, I was able to be in the water with a dolphin for the first time, and that was a life-changing experience for me because until I had been in the water with the dolphins, I knew they were mammals, but I had no idea that there was any kind of a really clear relationship. When I got in the water with the dolphin, this was in not a seaquarium or anything like that. It was at a marine institute run by the United States and Honduras about 3 years ago for the study of wild dolphins. The dolphins are able to come into this institute and leave at their own discretion. And as part of the institution there, people can come and visit with the dolphins. And when I looked into the eye of the dolphin, that was the really startling revelation for me, because looking back at me, was not a fish or not even a mammal as I expected it, but it looks totally human. And not only human, I got the distinct impression from it that it was incredibly brilliant, intellectually perhaps superior to myself. And that experience sparked an intense interest in the dolphins. And I read about them intensely and studied up on them as much as I could. And more important than that is I learned all this terrific new research that's being done about the dolphins. And it was started at the Marine Institute there. Information that has not been really available to the public at large. And so my book is kind of a report on the latest information that's come out about the dolphins and their incredibly close relationship to us. And their capacity for healing, especially, is absolutely miraculous. Everything about them is miraculous, the more we know about them. They're not just cool marine mammals. They're a very special animal, and there's nothing like them on land or in the sea, actually. So that's what really got me going on our dolphin ancestors. The capacity for healing, I found, was something that was important and that needed to be known to the larger public than just specialists and so forth.
Well, and you're talking about healing at a deep level of healing, because historically dolphins have saved humans many, many, many times in dire straits that we've been in the water and dolphins have known to come to the rescue. And there's also experiences with dolphins that show maybe they have something else going on. For instance, you talk about in your book, Jacques Cousteau experienced going under deep down to witness a dolphin meeting.
there are so many mysteries about the dolphins that are not known, and they're high order of intelligence. And Jacques Cousteau had this one particular instance. He'd written several books about the dolphins, and they're all excellent. I can't recommend them highly enough to our listeners. But someone asked him one time, well, of all the strange things you had with dolphins, what was the strangest? And he says, well, by far was this incident that took place in the early 1960s, in which these dolphins were coming very close to his ship, the Calypso, and he just was curious to get in the water with them, as he'd done many times before. So he and another diver from the Calypso, they followed the dolphins at a discreet distance. The dolphins were not swimming very far or very fast, and they weren't even particularly very deep. They followed the dolphins down, and they found that there was a circle of dolphins literally sitting on their tails at the bottom of the sea, which was only like about 40 feet down. It was not deep at all. And the dolphins were sitting quietly, sitting on their tails in a circle, looking at each other and slowly nodding to each other from time to time. And Cousteau said that it was the weirdest spectacle he'd ever seen, not only for dolphins, but in the sea. It was as though they were mentally conferring with one another. Eventually, they caught sight of Cousteau and his diver, and they vanished away. They flitted away. And Cousteau always said that his greatest regret was that he had forgotten his camera. This Jacques Cousteau, so don't feel too badly if you see something great and you don't have your camera with it, because even he had forgotten the camera and he could not document it visually. But he said that was by far the strangest thing. The dolphins...
Now let's talk about that.
Yeah.
But let's talk about that, because what he was witnessing looked like they were maybe speaking to each other telepathically.
Yes.
And certainly we know that in the animal kingdom they have abilities to communicate in ways that we don't understand, because we think, well, if you can, you know, to communicate you have to use your voice and know a language. And it doesn't mean they don't use their voice and know a language in ways that we can't hear them. Can you talk about the high frequencies that they can operate at?
It's unbelievable. Their ability to hear, they can literally hear a normal tone of voice in the sea over more than 1,000 miles. That's the incredible capacities they have. The dolphin brain, if you were to look physically at a sample of the dolphin brain and human brain, they're almost indistinguishable. They're shockingly similar. The dolphin brain, of course, is a little bit larger, but size does not matter when it comes to the brain, because elephants have a much larger brain than we have, but they're not quite as smart as we are. It's the convolutions of the brain, the development of the brain, that's the decisive thing is regarding intelligence. And the convolutions of the dolphin brain are more complex than our own. And the reason why is because it's not necessarily a comparison of IQ. The dolphins are able to think and visualize in several directions simultaneously. Just to give you one example, it's known that when the dolphins are able to rotate their eyes, very similar to ourselves, although better than ourselves, and that eye that I mentioned before that sort of sparked me on this thing, is really remarkable, because the dolphin eye, for all of its human resemblances, is superior. It's able to see under the sea, on the sea, and above the sea. And when a dolphin is swimming, it is able to rotate one eye forward and the other eye backward simultaneously. It can look forward to where it's going. It can look backward to where it's been. And the information that is coming into its brain reaches it simultaneously. So the dolphin brain is able to see in two directions at least simultaneously. That's something we can't do. The brain is able to actually process that information. This and other information indicates about the dolphin brain is that it's able to process more types of information than not only that we are able to do, but that we even know about. When I was at the Honduras Institute, I actually asked one of the handlers there. They're not trainers. They're handlers. And he's a university-trained student of dolphinology. I asked him if he thought, in his opinion, that dolphins are telepathic. And he said he believed that they were, that they had telepathic powers. And I think that that is confirmed by the terrific amount of information on people that have been saved at sea by dolphins. Very commonly, a person is in the middle of the ocean when there's been a plane crash or their ship has gone down quickly. There's no way to alert anyone. They're completely far out at sea, totally alone, and a dolphin will show up out of nowhere and save this person. This story has been repeated thousands and thousands of times over the years. A typical story was a movie actor, a television actor, who was on the Dick Van Dyke Show, and it was Dick Van Dyke himself, and he reported that back in the, it must have been only about 10 years, within the last 10 years, Dick Van Dyke was on a rubber raft in Mexico on a beach, and he fell asleep on it out at sea, and when he woke up, he was on this little raft. This is a true story. He was on a little raft, one of these inflatables, far out at sea beyond the sight of land. And before he could, even panic could really set in, he had no idea in which direction to go. A dolphin appeared out of nowhere and not only pushed him and his raft gently back towards the beach, but pushed him back precisely to where he had pushed off about an hour or so before.
Wow.
Now, how could the animal know about this? If it was just one occasion, you figure, okay, well, it's just luck. But that's not the case. These stories have been repeated numerous times. There was no way I could repeat even a third of these stories in my book, because the book would be like 10 times its length. So I tried to put in representative examples. But there are example after example of this. So the dolphin must have some way of knowing beyond just hearing that there's something going on. And why would a wild animal, these are not trained animals, why would a wild animal come to the rescue of a completely different species? Not only that, but a species that has done terrific harm to the dolphins. But nonetheless, they have saved the lives of countless thousands of people over the years.
There
are
numerous
examples of that.
They also organize themselves when people are attacked by sharks. They'll come in a group and swim a circle around the person, holding off the sharks by a bunch of them swimming in a circle together. And that's fairly coordinated.
I know, it's
purposeful.
Amazing. Now I put in stories like that in the book, too. We have to understand, though, that there are about 57 or 59 different species of dolphins. And not all dolphins are created equal in their relationship to human beings. When other people have been in the sea, attacked by sharks or drowning or whatever, some dolphins take no interest in them whatsoever. It's really only two types of dolphins, so it would appear, that are interested deeply in human beings and other mammals, and that is the bottlenose dolphin and the spotted dolphin. They're not that rare. They're pretty common. But nonetheless, those are the ones that are particularly interested in human beings. The others are, to a lesser degree, or not specifically interested. There are variations in intelligence among these 57 or 59 types of dolphins. So that's kind of peculiar, but that's part of what the story is.
I remember, I don't know how many decades ago, reading about John Lilly and his work with the dolphins, and I thought that was amazing that what he was discovering, and that was so long ago. Now we have so much more technology to work with the dolphins and see what they can do and how to.
Yes, he advanced
the study of
dolphins called dolphinology terrifically. He devoted his life and his fortune to understanding more about the dolphins. He learned a terrific amount. He wrote a number of books which I highly recommend to our listeners who are interested in that. But his research is still going on. It did not die with him by any means. There has been a terrific amount of information that's been learned about them. Among the most recent thing was Dr. Michael A. Zasloff in 2011. He is with Washington, D.C.'s Georgetown University Medical Center. It's a $225 million biomedical and research establishment. And he still works with the Transplant Institute in the Department of Surgery. And in 2011, he reported in the Journal of Investigative Dermatology about the miraculous healing qualities of the dolphins and something that needs to be further investigated. The dolphins have, and put this in a nutshell, what Dr. Zasloff was able to determine, he and his investigative team, the dolphins have the antibacterial properties in their skin and in their blubber to achieve rapid healing such as no other animal on the planet has. He's noticed, for example, in his studies, that there are some dolphins that have been attacked by sharks, and these dolphins have huge wounds in them, gigantic, like the size of the dimension of a basketball. And yet the dolphins are swimming along with little or no difficulty, and in a matter of days sometimes, the gigantic wounds are completely healed. And when the animals, when the dolphins were captured and examined, it was found that there wasn't even any residue tissue, that they seemed to be utterly, totally healed, as though they'd had no encounter of any kind. It turns out that the secret that dolphins have are these antibiological properties in their skin and their blubber, and also they have a terrific pain-killing compounds that are extruded at the same time, and that these characteristics that they've developed in the sea should be and possibly can be reproduced for us, which would be an incredible medical breakthrough. And that's what he's been working on for about the past 6 or 7 years now. That alone is remarkable. The dolphins are like the physicians of the sea. Their capacity to heal human beings, especially of things like cancer, are miraculous. I use that word from time to time, but I can't think of any other adjective that is better descriptive. There was a case of a woman who was just swimming for kicks with dolphins in Panama City, Florida. Her name was Patricia Stoops, and she was swimming with this one little dolphin that they referred to as Kepler, and the dolphin kept bumping into her, which was kind of unusual and actually kind of hurting her. Dolphins never do that. And so she got out of the water and was a little afraid. But she liked swimming with the dolphins other than that. When she went home, she found that there was a slight discomfort in her chest, and she thought about her encounter with the dolphin. She went to the doctor and found out that she had the beginnings of lung cancer. The dolphins will point out sometimes vigorously to someone that is beginning to have cancer, and sometimes they will cure the cancer. This one woman had an advanced sarcoma and didn't realize it at the time. A dolphin gave her a kind of a burst of sound. They can do that. They can give bursts of sonar energy, and this dolphin sort of zapped her with this high-frequency sonar, caused a bruise on her side. And when she went to the doctor to have the bruise examined, it was found out that there were the remnants of what was then a benign sarcoma. The dolphin had literally, on its own, healed this wound of cancer in a flash of a second. These instances, although infrequent, are not rare. They do happen. And so there are now institutes around the world for dolphin therapy. Dolphins have been even more successful in curing neurological diseases, neurological disorders. People that are suicide prone or people that have acute depression in many cases have been utterly turned around in their psychology and have been literally saved by some kind of euphoria that the dolphins are able to impart on to these various sufferers. There's a wonderful book called The Soul in the Sea by Scott Taylor, and he specifies in The Soul in the Sea the healing capacities for dolphins. And he talks about how this one institute in Mexico has had literally hundreds of children who have been cured of birth defects, cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, stroke, and paralysis through their association with dolphins. So
that's
the more
incredible.
I learned about this, the more obsessed I became in learning what's being found out about dolphins, and tried to develop it in my book on our dolphin ancestors. And I think that there is a deep evolutionary connection between us and them. I think that there's a great, powerful secret to be unlocked in studying their relationship with us.
And I think that their ability with sound is something that still has to be understood. You refer to it in your book, because one thing is that they can communicate in frequencies that we can't hear. So they might be having incredible conversations with each other, and we don't even think there's a sound happening.
Correct.
And so we don't know about that kind of communication. Also, they can pick up sounds and hear, for instance, and you talk about this in your book, that they might be hearing the different frequencies of our different organs and glands that all have a different tone.
Correct.
And they know what a healthy tone of each organ gland is versus a sick tone. So a lot of what they might identify is what they're hearing in our bodies, and they can hear it at a distance.
I think you're absolutely correct. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, even out of the water, I mean, you talk about in the book of a dolphin that was using its blowhole to shoot pebbles at a woman's stomach who was walking along the beach,
mm-hmm.
and right at her stomach where she was pregnant. So the dolphin.
Right. She was in a very early stage of pregnancy. It was not obvious to her, and she was just walking along the seashore with a group of other tourists just to watch the dolphins. They were not in the water with the dolphins. They're just on the land. And this one little dolphin came up and would just flip a pebble at her tummy. And everybody thought that was kind of cute. That was kind of funny. It would go down. It would disappear and look down the water. And they'd come back up with another pebble and shoot it right at her stomach. And it did this several times. And everybody thought it was pretty cute. And so she said, well, that dolphin knows something the rest of you don't. I'm pregnant. So I think what the dolphin was able to do is it had a kind of a CAT scan. The dolphins, I think it's important to stress that the dolphins are communicating on multiple levels simultaneously. Another way they can understand what's going on in their environment, and this became obvious after I got to see the dolphin. One of the things that they do with the dolphin at the Institute in Honduras is they have the dolphin open its mouth. And that's kind of scary because it has this immense mouth, and it has 88 teeth. And I realized, looking at this animal, this thing could break me in half like a breadstick if it wanted to. And it has a huge tongue. And the tongue looks very human, but it's many times the size of our tongue. It's something like about 3 feet long or something. And the reason why it has this tongue is because it tastes the water constantly and gets information from tasting the water. It can taste what kind of fish are in the area. It can taste what potential danger is there. Sharks can do this to some degree too, but nowhere near as high as the dolphins can. So, like I said, they have multiple ways of processing information all at the same time. We have trouble concentrating on one thing at a time, and their powers of concentration are astounding, and sound plays a major role. I believe also, as other investigators have concluded, that dolphins can see with sound. There was another instance where a man in the water was having heart problems, And he had recently had installed a heart's valve, a mechanical valve. And this one dolphin came over and paid very close attention to the man and was scanning him with beeps and so forth and crackles and all kinds of sonar-type noise. And then the dolphin swam away, and then the dolphin came back with another dolphin. So it was as though two doctors were conferring about this man who had the heart problem. Both dolphins were very interested in what was going on. So I think they can CAT scan. They have powers of sound, echolocation. And I think that the reason, of course, that people ask is, well, why are dolphins saving us? Why should they care? You know, why should a wild dolphin and go to the trouble of, like you said, saving people from sharks? That's a common report. A recent one was of a child that fell overboard off of a yacht in the Gulf of Mexico and was about to be savaged by sharks. When dolphins appeared again out of nowhere, formed a ring around him and fought the sharks off and brought the child back towards the boat, saved the child. Why is it these things happen? That's because I think that there is a definite evolutionary relationship between dolphins and us. I think that we both have, if not a common ancestor, a common time together. And like I said, this reveals a very great secret, and that is of our evolution. That what we are taught about evolution, I think, is partially in error. And I think there was what is known as an aquatic phase in our early evolution, where our primate ancestors were forced by the environment, by a changing environment, into the water. And when that happens, when the environment changes that rapidly, nature gives an ultimatum to a species, adapt or die. And I think that we began to adapt to an aquatic environment at the same time that this other animal was forced to do another mammal like ourselves, if not ourselves, was going through the same process.
Yeah,
so
it's
I think
hard
that
to
there
understand
was
evolution
a shared period.
Because there's so much new information hitting us every day about our past. But we're about to end the show. We've run out of time. And so this is such a pleasure to talk with you, Frank. And your book is
Well, the pleasure
Our
is all
Dolphin.
Mine.
Thank you. Our Dolphin Ancestors, Keepers of Lost Knowledge and Healing Wisdom. And where can people go on the web, or what can they do?
Well, the best place to get Our Dolphin Ancestors is at Amazon.com. That's the cheapest way to get it and the fastest way. And if they have any questions about it, they can contact me. I have a toll-free number. It's 877-494-0044. And that's the magazine that I work for, Ancient American. And if they have any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them for them.
Oh, that's great. Frank, thanks so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. What a pleasure talking with you.
Well, thank you very much. And I enjoyed our conversation quite a bit.
Good, thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening. Thank you.